Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's meditation is also taken from the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, the parable of the sower, the explanation of which the Lord has in these following words. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed then that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it out, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Thus far the text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, especially our brothers and sisters from the Brazil Evangelical Lutheran Church, I am very honored and pleased to be here to share with you God's word this morning. Especially since I had a role in the Books for Brazil project at the library, helping to add some to that from the library's own efforts. We were very pleased to share with your church and with the other institutions in Brazil that you shared the books with to help you to have some of the wisdom and the knowledge which had been stored in those books and had been shared in our church for many years. It is a great privilege to be able to share God's word with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and also to share the additional knowledge and wisdom which comes from being able to cross both culture and time and place, so that authors can share what they've learned with each other and with you and with us, so that it can be applied in new places and new times and in new ways each and every year. We are thankful, therefore, that we have been able to participate in your ministry, and even a little in a modest way, by sharing the wisdom of the ages with you through the books which our church has been able to gather for you. We pray that the Lord will continue to bless the ministry of the Brazil Evangelical Lutheran Church, and especially the preparation of those who share in the harvest work of the Lord, those pastors and teachers and ministers of various different sorts, evangelists and lay people, all bringing God's word to those who have yet to hear it. The text that we have in front of us today tells us much about our common task to plant the seed of God's word. The Lord tells us in this parable what happens when the seed of God's word is scattered abroad. He tells us both something which helps us with our task of sharing the Lord's word with each other and with the world, and also it tells us something about what the process is not about. Christians in general, and pastors in particular, are easily tempted to think that God wants them to do something that he really doesn't want them to do. When I was a teenager, my friends in the Baptists and the Episcopal churches and in some of the evangelical denominations used to tell me that I should be concerned that I wasn't saving anybody. "Why haven't you gone out and saved somebody today, Bob?" I was told. I sort of scratched my head and felt very guilty because I didn't seem to be terribly persuasive with non-Christian people and never seemed to make much progress with my witness. The trouble is that that's really not our job. It is not true that our job is to save people. Our job is to plant the seed, not to make it grow. It is the Lord who grants the increase. We are tempted to try to make God's own crop to grow. Especially us Americans, we're very success-oriented. We like to see results. We like to see pews that are filled with people, packed to the brims. We like to see that when we share a word with a non-Christian friend or relative, that they're going to immediately just fall over in faith, pray to the Lord for forgiveness, and be baptized in church the next week. When this doesn't happen, we puzzle over what on earth has gone wrong. The problem is that the harvest of souls is one thing that cannot be measured. You cannot take a nose count on who is going into heaven until the day that the book of life is opened and the Lord himself reads the names. If we try to do that, we might find ourselves terribly misled or discouraged or unable to share because we feel that we perhaps don't have the certain gift to bring somebody to faith. When we try to make the crop grow, sometimes we find ourselves trying to manipulate people, to use this, that, or the other thing, perhaps invent a gimmick or two to convince them that they ought to become Christians, only to discover later that the change was very superficial and not deep at all. We might try to change people, force them to our way of thinking, and when we do that, find ourselves terribly frustrated because they just don't want to simply roll over and play dead. You should try the mission field that the Lord sometimes has presented to myself and to some of my friends, Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, and Christian Scientists, if you want to try to manipulate somebody into the kingdom. It doesn't work too terribly well. They've already been manipulated. They've already been deceived. And even if you manage to show them that, they're not all that eager to line up to be deceived or manipulated one more time. The biggest trouble is if we try to save people and don't see any fruits of it, is we may even begin to see ourselves as failures. Perhaps the pastor, because he doesn't seem to get any new people joining his congregation, might begin to feel as if he is not a success as a pastor. He might feel as if he's failed because instead of the attendance growing, it's shrinking. Or because he doesn't seem to make new Christians out of people who are just off the street. The trouble is that we cannot, in and of ourselves, even save ourselves, much less our neighbor. And if we try, we're at best doomed to failure, or at worst, finding ourselves doing something that God does not want us to do. Fortunately for us, saving people is not our job. God has called us to sow, not to grow the crop. He has called us to spread the seed, not to make it grow. He has called us to water, to plant, to plow, to cause all of the conditions to be right for the growth, but to allow him and he alone to bring the fruits of that crop. What we have is indeed powerful, and it's powerful because, after all, folks, it's not us. It's God who is behind it. The word God gives us is powerful. Unlike any other book, and believe me, I have quite a few books over at the library if you want to come see. Unlike any other book, the scripture itself has power to change hearts and lives and to save people. We are very much curiously liberated when we realize all God asks us to do is to share, to not worry about whether this person's going to be saved or whether that person is going to be saved, or whether we're going to get the words just right so that we can pull this person into the kingdom or not. Instead, simply to say to people, this is what God has done for you and what he has done for me. Hear what he wants to do for you. He has forgiven your sins. Because Jesus died and rose again from the dead, you can live again with God forever. When we share that good news, then it is the Lord's job to take the crop over. By doing that, it liberates us to do the job we've been asked to do. When we answer God's call to work the work of planting this word everywhere, we have plenty of time on our hands since we're not worried about saving people. And so we can share even more. We can work on new ways of saying the same thing in different ways in our own language or in different languages and tongues and cultures and peoples across the world. In this day and age, we Americans even have the privilege of being able to sit down at a computer and share God's word with someone on the other side of the earth itself from our own comfort of our own living room. And if you're looking for a little bit more personal ministry, I can tell you how to get a Jehovah Witness to come to your front door so that you can sit down and chat with them as well. By bringing God's word to people, we can expect one thing, and that is, according to this parable, the results are going to be mixed. Some people are going to walk, in some cases run away from you, Some cases, the word will be received and it will grow a little bit, but then die out. In other cases, people will respond and become Christians, and during their life will show no fruit because they're more worried about the world and about the future and about their life than they are about the Lord. But the most glorious answer is that where God's word is sown, there will be growth that will result in eternal life. That we don't have to worry about it. God's already worrying about that. That all we need to do is to scatter and to plant and to gather more seed, to scatter and to plant, to find yet another field and throw yet more seed and scatter and plant, and not worry so much about the results, but about what we are to do. When we do that, we know that the Lord will bless and will cause the crop to grow, and that there will be a glorious harvest day when the angels come to gather the fruits of our scatterings, and where we can see in heaven itself the results of God's work through us in bringing the seed to the earth. Thank the Lord for that privilege, and for the privilege that we have both here and in Brazil and around the world to share God's word to even more people in our day and age. And pray also, as the Lord has asked us to do, that he will send even more workers to scatter the seed and to also harvest the results in the field of souls itself. Amen.